Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Carly Duke, and I am here with Chris Roby.
Hey, guys.
So, Chris, we've been doing this podcast for a while.
We have.
And I love having conversations with you, and sometimes we do these icebreaker things that maybe are a little lame, and sometimes we don't.
Oh, come on. They're awesome, all of them.
All of them are. Uh-huh. But today, I actually wanted to talk about icebreaker questions of if you are meeting with a group of students, kind of having a couple questions in your back pocket ready to go to break the ice and have a meaningful group experience.
So, Carly, I know we have a smaller fraction of our listening audience that are actual Teen Life facilitators, because we have quite a few, but we have a lot of parents, a lot of other stakeholders. But if there's any Teen Life facilitators listening to this, and have sat down in a group day one and just gotten the cold, dead stares of a group of teenagers who don't want to be there that first day.
It's horrifying.
Oh, it's horrifying. You're like, what do I do? And to have something in your pocket that might feel corny or might be worried about if it landed or not, but just something that's going to, like it says, if it's cold, it's hard to get through like ice, but just to get through that. Because typically, if you can get through that initial pain point, I mean, this happened to me this week in one of my groups where it was tough slogging. I mean, it was tough. Mm-hmm. But once we got through that initial part, it was a wonderful group and had a great productive time together. But getting over that hump's tough.
And that's what icebreaker questions, I mean, they can be used by anyone. If you're a teacher and you have a new class and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do we start this thing off? An icebreaker question, do it. Mm-hmm. If you have a group of teenagers riding in your car and it gets silent for a few minutes, throw out an icebreaker question, let them talk about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, facilitators or youth ministers in a small group or just volunteers who are working, if you're working with more than one teenager, I suppose you could even do it with one, but I feel like it works really well.
I think especially one. Yeah, I think absolutely.
But it works well if you can get them talking to each other. And so at Teen Life, with Teen Life groups, we have a couple that we ask over and over again that we tell our facilitators. And so I wanted to start with those. Because I think especially if you are meeting regularly with teenagers, it's helpful to have something that you kind of go back to every time. And it gives you this like starting point of like, all right, well, last week you did this week you did this, and moving on. But our two questions are, what is something good that happened this week? And what are you looking forward to?
So the first question is one that I've used. I don't know when I started using this. When I lead support groups, I have, and I really do mean this, the privilege of going through some of the tougher schools. And so when I say that, these are a lot of these schools are placement or drug rehabs. These are places where kids don't want to be, right? And so they're in this time where they're having to fulfill some kind of mandate or do some kind of sentence or some kind of placement. And it's not fun. It's the same thing every day. They have to wear the same clothes every day. They can't do all the things. So they're just kind of grumpy in general, which I would be too. But asking that question, what is one good thing that's happened this week? I tend to get some eye blinks back. Like, what are you talking about? What could be good right now? But it gives an opportunity to simplify a little bit.
Right.
And sometimes when it comes to it, the students would just say, I woke up. Mm-hmm. Or I got my shoes on the right feet, or I had a good breakfast, or I woke up on time, or I got good sleep. But just to be able to identify some of these small things that we tend to overlook and find some gratitude towards that. And sometimes kids just say pass, or nothing's good is happening right now. And I get to kind of make fun of them, like, nothing's good going on. Come on, you know, kind of thing.
Your life stinks.
Yeah. It's like, how did you make it here? Right. But it's a really simple question that I've used for years that tends to be pretty effective.
And I think just that idea that we're going to focus on the good. Mm-hmm. Even if you feel like nothing good is happening, surely we can find something. I've had, like you said, Chris, some of the answers are funny. Like, I had one kid one time tell me, I ate Taco Bell this week. Good for you.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, what are you looking forward to? The answer is, I get to go home at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. or like, I can't wait to get back to my bed. Like, it doesn't have to be some big trip or exciting thing. It can be something really small, but just reminding them like, hey, there is good stuff that's happening, even if it's little. And so that's always good, especially if you're working with teenagers from a harder place, or maybe even teenagers who don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a great way to start. Now, I have some fun or different icebreaker questions. Chris, feel free to add your own too. But one that I vividly remember someone asking me this in high school, I think on a mission trip, like in a van. But if you could get a painting or a picture of any moment in your life, what would it be?
Oh, that's good.
And so kind of asking them like, it could be something really small or something that reminds them of something, but kind of gets them to think back on like, yeah, this was a really cool moment. I wish I had a memory of that.
And sometimes you can expand that to, you can go from a moment to a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, because I know we'll talk about like the summer of 2012, how awesome that was, right? We just have that span of time, or that specific right. moment, or that event, or that relationship, that things were going really, really well. Mm-hmm. Or a time in your life where things were going well. But I love that idea of a painting or a picture. What would it be?
Mm-hmm. Another one, this is a good one to get like some information or to find out what teenagers love and are passionate about. But that's, if you had to give a 10-minute speech on something, what would it be?
Hmm.
Like, if you had to stand up in front of a classroom or a group right now, give me 10 minutes, you get to pick the topic. What are you talking about?
Hmm. I think you could even, you mold that into, even if you didn't know enough about it, what's something you would spend time researching to give 10 minutes of mm-hmm. content on? Like, what would you want to spend a lot of time learning about?
Yeah.
I like this one here is, would you rather be the funniest or the smartest person in the room?
Hmm.
I love that a lot. So kind of gets into the vibe of who they are. I got another one that literally just happened this week that someone actually wrote this out for us to ask. And I've heard a version of this before, but it's really, so the question was, what is the TV show or movie you have watched the most?
Ooh.
So not necessarily your favorite.
Right.
Because I think everyone would do that, but what's the one you've invested the most of your time into? Which is really, and then that question actually went two steps further. And if you really want to get into the gritty, is like, can you share your favorite quote? And then would you perform that quote?
Oh no.
And the third one they tended to opt out of, but the second one we got a little bit deeper conversation about, but there's some really funny answers, very very oddly specific movies that teenagers spent a lot of time with, watched over and over. I'm like that movie. Like,
how funny.
It wasn't even inappropriate. It was just like some weird like zombie movie that like they just got obsessed with and just watched over and over again. It's crazy.
That's awesome. I think would you rather questions or questions like that that make them think that like everyone has an answer to.
Mm-hmm.
Try to think of something that's not going to like isolate a student who might not be in as many activities or have as many friends. Like, try to think of something that like anyone could answer this. It's a free for all. I also think I'm going to throw this out here just from a teen life perspective, but we have these things called teen life cards and we use them in our groups, and each card has just a random picture front and back, and we'll throw the cards out on the table and ask a question like, hey, pick something that represents how you're feeling today.
Hmm.
And there's one picture that my students love, and it's this pug that's like wrapped up in a blanket and super grumpy sitting on a bed.
Very popular.
Very popular. Or maybe it's throwing confetti, or it's someone snoozing an alarm. Like, there are lots of different things, but you can ask just a million questions out of those, and they just get to pick a picture. And sometimes that's disarming if they're not having to come up with an answer on their own, but they can kind of go off of something.
It's very Instagrammy in a way of just kind of photos that evoke some kind of emotion. And this is something we've really only used for a couple of years now, but it's had significant impact. And I can't tell you how many those groups I was telling you about before that just were kind of pretty tough who opened right up with that. Mm-hmm. And because they had a reference point to jump off of where they didn't have to find the words, it was right in front of them. And so sometimes but that speaks a lot to the power of these icebreaker questions. If you can ask those questions where you can remove a lot of those barriers into something very, very simple. One of the questions we didn't really talk about whenever that we can kind of add to that list of questions with something good that happened this week is just what is something you're looking forward to? Is a really, really powerful question of, even if it's super small, what are you looking forward to today or in the next, maybe even just in the next hour, what's something you're looking forward to? And just kind of getting them to that future focus, especially if they're in a time of life where things seem to be really, really difficult and monotonous. What's something you're looking forward to?
This episode is sponsored by Lubbock Christian University. If you or a teen you know is interested in furthering their education in youth ministry, LCU is the perfect partner for you. When you visit their website in the show notes, you'll find information on a youth ministry degree or other ways that you can partner with LCU through summer camps, internships, events, and more. Contact our friend David Fraze to find out more about LCU and life and ministry to young people at david.fraze@lcu.edu. And don't forget, go Shaps!
Okay, for the trend this week, Chris, this is something that I think you're going to know more about it than me because I did research, but I think you have done a lot more research, and that is ChatGPT.
I'm really excited we're doing this, Carly.
I'm so glad.
Yes.
This is your nerdy part. Last week, I was a little nerdy in the podcast. Yes. This week, you get to be a little nerdy.
Yeah. We're all nerdy in our own ways. Carly likes all the stats, and I like all the technology that's probably going to end humanity kind of stuff. So
perfect.
Yeah. So as we get into ChatGPT, this is a pretty new technology. I don't know that I have my mind completely wrapped around it because it seems so sci-fi, you know, so like stuff that you see in movies, but it's starting to become more real. But just define ChatGPT as a free natural language processing tool, NLP, that uses machine learning out basically algorithms to generate responses based upon the input it receives. So basically it can mimic a human pretty accurately. So GPT is such a cumbersome acronym. It is Generative Pre-trained Transformer. So probably good they shortened that.
Yep, I see why they shortened it.
Yeah. Better marketing with that. You can tell an engineer made that.
But it can pretty much do anything, right? Like it can write papers, it can put out images.
Well, so when we think of something like this, so we all are somewhat familiar with the chatbot, right? So if you've ever been on a customer service site of any kind, it'll say, hey, do you want to chat with a representative? And you know I'm chatting with a daggum robot that is not gonna help me out.
Right.
That will not give me any answers. And you're always like, I want to talk to a human. I want to talk. And so chatbots just in general, there's different levels of them down to like your little chatbot apps. But even Siri or Alexa is kind of a chatbot using what it knows about the internet to find information. But basically, it's almost like a go-between where like here's the information, right? This is what I found. ChatGPT is kind of that next step in AI where it's got these machine learning algorithms where it can do this basically a scan of everything it can see in the internet and is smart enough to start putting it all together. So whenever I ask it a question, it actually gives a helpful answer in some kind of ways. We thought it'd be really funny to do like real time GPT stuff and like type it in. I've heard different podcasts that have done that. But GPT right now, or ChatGPT, is at capacity right now. It is in beta. And so a lot of beta technologies kind of have its capacity, then it gets sleepy and shuts down. That's where it is right now. But Carly, it was typing out something kind of funny when you were looking it up. From what I
understand. It like gave me an acrostic, which I won't do the whole thing, but like it did ChatGPT. And then it was like ChatGPT is currently down was the C. Like it just like wrote out this acrostic. So it might be funny just to go look at. Maybe if I can get it working, I'll in the next couple days or something, I'll have it write our outro so you can kind of see what it does. We'll see if that comes check back. But it does, like I was wanting to get on and actually see it in person because I haven't used it yet and I couldn't get on because it was at capacity. And then I didn't have time to sit there and wait for it. But it is just fascinating. It is worth mentioning that I think schools are a little stressed. about this technology and what it means for homework, what it means for paper writing. I know I saw that the New York City school system, which is the nation's largest, prohibited students and teachers from accessing it on school computers. Mm-hmm. So they are limiting that access. But I think they're kind of wondering, students might be going, why do I need to learn this in school if I can put it in ChatGPT and they can give me the answer?
I know I got to sit down and mess with it. I got to work one night. And I asked it a couple just really basic questions. It was pretty smart. I mean, I'm a guitar player, so I asked like different guitar stuff. And then I'm a history guy, so I asked like a history of this city. Now, it's not exhaustive by any means, but what's interesting about it is you can ask it the same question multiple times. It will give you multiple answers. So it's not like it's just the same. It's not going to kick out the same answer every time. So it seems incomplete, but if you want more, ask it again. And it will go find new information about it that wasn't there the first time around. So it's pretty fascinating how that all works. And if you want to go down kind of a rabbit hole, get on Twitter or get on some social media and kind of search through how different questions and different ways people have kind of, they're just, people are trying to test this thing. Like, what does this thing actually do? But I mean, it's gotten so far as to say, give me instructions on how to make a milkshake in Shakespearean language. And it will literally type out a Shakespearean play on how you should make a milkshake. Wow. So, cool. And it's pretty good. Like I said, it is in beta, so it is easily fooled in some ways, kind of like Siri is easily fooled. But just this capacity to find different things is really really fascinating. But because of that, as Carly said, you know, there's a lot of anxiety just from the intellectual property standpoint of things, like what's real anymore and what is it the students are actually doing when it comes to their assignments, and can they just chat their way out of this? Some of these anxieties are not new. If you look at around the time that, you know, the internet was really popping, that was a big, I remember when I was in college and in high school, when you could just Google things, like people got really anxious about that. And like all technologies, there's limitations, and there will always be limitations. And even to this day, if a student really wanted to do that, they could. But so in some ways I wonder about the anxieties around that, since those anxieties have been around since technology has been around. But there's definitely pros and cons of these kinds of technologies.
I will say I found this article, and I'm going to link it, from CyberWise. And it was a blog that gave the pros and cons, and it was written by ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to see an example of what they do. And so I took some of that, of what ChatGPT actually said, here are some pros and cons. And then just based on our research, we kind of added and changed some of that too. But it's just really funny that it can write a blog post on itself.
That's hilarious.
But there are pros and cons. And I think even some teachers are trying to, I said some are worried, but I think some are trying to figure out, how can we apply this? Like, how can we add it to our instruction and get teenagers or students to use it as well?
Well, all you need is an internet connection. So it's very convenient. It has the ability to hold and answer questions and conversation, making it good for students who learn that way, right? There's a lot of students that aren't going to learn just by sitting there and reading a dull textbook. But if it's more conversational format, there could be, you know, students are going to probably learn a little bit better from that. And it's really personal. ChatGPT can adapt to the student's level of understanding. This could make the learning experience much more personal and effective.
Yeah, because they're asking the question and they're asking it the way that they need to receive the information back.
Right. And the AI bot is going to be able to interpret that and interpret that language and be able to answer, you know, in kind, for sure. Right. Then obviously it's a time-saving piece, which that's where the anxieties come in. If the students, you know, the night before a paper is due, well, I'll just get the chat bot to write it. that is hopefully not how that's going to be used, and hopefully there's safeguards that we built around that. But yeah, there's definitely some time-saving aspects to quickly answer questions. And that, you know, I think a lot of young internet users, like I can speak for my family, for my child, but you know, my son's sixth grade and he wants a smartphone, and I believe him. He's not on social media. He doesn't really care about that stuff. He's like, I want my questions answered. Like, if I have a question, I want to be able to type it in and figure it out. And I'm like,
Yeah.
You know, dude, that's great. I love that. And this is a quick way to be able to do that.
But there are some cons to it, obviously. One is lack of human interaction. So it can give you this information and personalized feedback, but it's not a real teacher. It's not a human. And it also is limited. And so maybe students aren't going to be able to fully understand a concept or be able to ask for clarification because, like Chris said, maybe it gives you part of the answer, but they don't know to keep asking. And so they're not going to fully understand what it's trying to say, which could be a little scary. Now, dependence on technology, obviously, it relies on technology to function. So, like right now, when you can't get on it, that's not super helpful. Or if it's continuing to have technical difficulties. And then obviously, if students come to rely on this, then when they're sitting for a test or they're having to do in-person assignments, but all they've been doing is putting it into ChatGPT, they might not actually understand that concept. And so it could hurt their education in the long run if they're relying on that technology and not actually learning the content.
One of the things, this goes a little deeper, but anytime a new technology is out here, a lot of the questions surround it are some of the ethical questions, but also just upon the implicit biases of the developers of the technology, right? And so there's a lot of work happening around just even facial recognition and race and how there are certain biases that are built into code based upon the coders, right? And so it's really interesting to see that. And that's the same thing with the ChatGPT is, you know, the information are we getting? Is it the right information for everyone? Is there things that in here? And that kind of goes into that limited knowledge, which is a kind of the next con, is that it might not have all or the best knowledge or even worldviews when it comes to the information you're getting. Right now, it can't generate, ChatGPT can't generate content based upon things that have happened after its most recent scan of the internet in 2021. And so we are in 2023 now. And that so this is technically a couple of years behind, which is light years in the internet world. And so it's really knowing what knowledge base is this pulling from is really important as you use a tool like this.
I don't know. That's just so funny to me. I've heard that they're supposed to be coming out with a new version soon. So I'm sure that'll be more up to date. But yeah, if you're asking it something that happened in 2022, it's not going to know, which is funny. And then plagiarism, obviously, is a huge concern. The blog post that I read and will link asked ChatGPT, is using ChatGPT plagiarism? And basically, it said, presenting another person's work or another AI's work as your own is plagiarism. And so if you're getting it from somewhere and you're saying, no, I wrote this, it's plagiarism. And so students need to know that. They also are guessing that plagiarism detection tools like Turnitin.com, which a lot of schools use and a lot of teachers use, will soon be able to detect if it's using AI. And so that's something that you want to make sure your students are aware of, that there could be extreme consequences if they start using this to do their homework, not just to research or to help them kind of understand concepts. It can be used that way. But if they're using it to write an entire paper and turn it in, that's plagiarism and they could get in big trouble for that. And so maybe just some follow-up questions that they can ask of, have you heard of it? How do you think a program like this could be helpful? How could it cause trouble? What have your teachers said about ChatGPT and plagiarism? Make sure you're having conversations and see if they're interacting with this or hearing about it at all. For the tip this week, Chris, I wanted to kind of go back to this icebreaker question idea, but talk about Fistify, which is something that Teen Life uses quite a bit in our groups and has been pretty successful with as well.
Yeah, we love this activity. This is kind of a day one for Teen Life. And if you, as we talked about at the beginning of this episode about life cards, we love ways to get teenagers to talk that don't involve words, which sounds really weird, but to get that started, because a lot of times the words aren't there. And so Fistify is a great way to indicate where you're feeling on things without having to really initially respond with some kind of verbal confirmation. So it's really easy idea that we just use a hand. And so we had students make a fist. I am on the video if you're seeing that. that is a zero, and you can rate yourself anywhere from a zero, one, two, three, four, or five with your hand. Mm-hmm. And so zero is the worst, five is the best, and that is our tool that we answer the questions with. You can ask any question that you want with that, where they can indicate how they're feeling about a certain thing, how's their day going, mm-hmm. How much do they want to change on a certain thing. Any of those kind of questions that you can answer, you can rate basically on six different numbers, including zero.
Sure. And I will say I've used this a lot in my groups. And right now I'm doing a group and I have two girls who refuse to speak ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just won't unless you ask them their name, but I can get them to throw up a number. Mm-hmm. And so at least I know how their day's going, mm-hmm. or at least I know, okay, like I'm getting some information from them if they're not wanting to speak. And so this is really cool. I know we've talked about this even at some of our like Teen Life fundraising dinners. And I have friends now who are like, I use this at work with my mm-hmm. employees to be like, hey, how's everyone doing today? Because especially if it's a big group, you can see pretty quickly how everyone's doing. Or if you use it with your kids or a teacher using it with a classroom, it's really, really cool. And with that, here's an outro written by ChatGPT. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. We hoped you enjoyed it and learned something new. If you did, please take a moment to leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. It helps us reach more listeners and improve our show. Also, don't forget to subscribe and stay up to date with future episodes. And if you know someone who would benefit from this episode, please share it with them. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.